All right, turn to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. We're going to start in 2 Kings. Turn your Bibles, and we're going to talk about the atmospheres. while you're turning there, I'm just going to make a statement. The atmosphere of a group of people makes it so that it can be life or no life. Okay? Spiritually as well as physically, obviously. One of the biggest challenges to interplanetary travel is you got to have an atmosphere. If you don't have it, you can't have life. No life. No atmosphere, no life. And we take our atmosphere for granted because we don't see it, really. We can take it for granted and realize that the only reason why we're alive today is because God has an atmosphere physically on this planet that's perfectly tuned to human life. Can somebody say amen to that? Atheists have a hard time with that because you can't just throw any kind of gas on a planet and expect life to list. And one of the most wonderful ways to talk to somebody who's geeky about science is to tell them about the fine tuning of atmospheres. It just doesn't happen accidentally. You breathe the atmosphere of Venus, you be dead quickly. Okay? Same thing with other atmospheres of our solar system and other planets. So, you have to have an atmosphere for life on planet Earth. Okay, so God creates an atmosphere in the spirit as well. We have a spiritual atmosphere. What does it do? It sustains life, right, amongst people. It keeps people alive and keeps them flowing. And so this what creates atmosphere of the spirit? That's what we're going to ask. What does the Word of God say about the atmosphere of the Spirit, spiritually and heavenly? What is heavenly atmosphere like? What's the heavenly atmosphere like? Turn, and you got there in 2 Kings 3, verse 11. Are you ready? You ready? Here we go. Now, Jehoshaphat, let's get right in here. Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. He goes, he's getting ready to do something with the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel are two different people. Jehoshaphat was a good king, and the king of Israel at that time was a very bad king. All right, he goes, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? They were getting ready to go to battle, and Jehoshaphat was doing the godly thing. He says, this is where I fight my battles. Right? This is how I fight my battles. Jehoshaphat was the one who did the praise and sent the praisers, right, ahead to fight the battles, and God did the victory. So now he's asking a question. Before we do something this important, shouldn't we hear from God? Like, that's what he wants. And so they call Elisha. Everybody say, Elisha. You got to say it with a very serious, yes, Elisha. It's like I'm not going to do Star Wars in this, but I almost want to say it's like calling for Obi-Wan to come. Come on, we need Yoda. We need somebody who carries a big robe, you know. They all wear robes. Yoda's is a little smaller than Obi-Wan's, but they're there, right? Then one of the kings of Israel's servants answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That means he's a good one. Next scripture. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So when you get a prophet that's hearing from God, you're going to get a word. Amen. And so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? He already was not happy to see this guy. So already you had somebody in the mix. Somebody in the mix who was bringing a bad atmosphere to the situation. And who was that? The king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was a good one in the atmosphere, but there was another guy that had a bad situation that was creating a bad atmosphere. And the prophet steps in that situation and he goes, I've got nothing to do with you. You're a problem right now. So he's got to solve a problem of a bad atmosphere because of that king that was there. And he goes, the king of Israel said to him, no, it's the Lord who has called these three kings together, right? He's arguing with them. Next line. Into the hand of, next lines go, the hand of Moab. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts be lives before I'm standing, were it not that I have regard for the Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you or see you. So this guy, the king of Israel, was already past the line, past the point of no return. Next line. Now, bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. We have to change. The prophet realized that something had to change. Now, I got to be honest with you. Did Elisha have a good attitude towards what he was dealing with at that time? No. So if you're ticked off at somebody and you're like into this, like, I really don't like this guy. That's not a good place. And he didn't have he couldn't kick him out, right? He couldn't remove him from the situation. So I believe that God wanted, that Elisha knew, I've got to change the atmosphere, not just here amongst us, but here. I need to get myself in the right kind of attitude. You know? And sometimes, and one of the weapons of our warfare, it's not carnal, because we're not talking about carnal warfare. One of the weapons of our warfare is changing the atmosphere through worship and music in particular. Music that is offered up to the Lord. That word psalm, the word psalm means to make music. Just to bring music. And in this case, he says, when the musician played, that's when the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he got the word of the Lord. When the musician played. When he played. He didn't even have to sing. He just was strumming the guitar. In this case, it was not a guitar. It was probably a lyre or something like that. You know, stringed instrument. Okay? Might have been a drum, but most likely I think he just played a stringed instrument. Psaltery was one of the names. Okay? So, if the prophet... Now, Elisha was Old Testament, okay? So you could say, well, Pastor John, that's Old Testament. We don't need that today. Just get the word and you've got everything. You know, I mean, I can hear somebody try to be religious and say that, but it's not true, okay? Jesus did stuff like that. Jesus did stuff like that to change the atmosphere. So turn to Luke 19. I'm just kind of giving you a scriptural foundation for this. Luke 19, 37. Luke 19, 37. This is interesting right here. Because different things can change the atmosphere. So we've already got the fact that worship can change the atmosphere. But other things can change the atmosphere as well. I love this scripture. I just absolutely love this scripture. Are you ready? You got it? As Jesus was drawing near to Jerusalem, what was going on? He was already on the way down from the Mount of Olives. So he was coming there from Mount of Olives. It says, the whole multitude of disciples... Okay, what were they doing? Began to rejoice and praise God. Rejoice is the word to be cheerful and to smile and to kind of go, hey, 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 hey. Yay, this is awesome. I love this. Come on. Don't you love to see people's faces change? I'll tell you what, I was at the ball game the other day and... the ball field was right in front of me. Thank you, Dave and Sam. And I'm there looking at the ball field, but to the left were all the children behind the fence running around and playing and jumping up and down and having a blast. And it wasn't because of the ball field. They were just in there being kids. So I would be looking at the game, and then I look over there and go, then they were just running and playing for no other reason. But they were just happy. You see what I'm saying? No one told them, you know, you should be happy because of... No, you don't have to tell a kid to act kooky and crazy and having fun. You don't have to tell them. It just comes. And they were just running around, playing tag, whatever game, you know. And I could tell you some other stories about it. But it was funny. So it was very entertaining. And that word rejoice means to be just like that. Smiling, happy, whatever. Just an attitude of gratitude. Amen? Kairo, that's a cool thing. That's a cool word. And then the word praise there is aineo, which just means to just sing and talk about the good stuff. And you can tell about praise. But I want you to notice this. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise with a loud voice. And don't whisper loud voice. Don't go loud voice. Okay? You got to say loud voice. That's why I'm not using a microphone. And when you're at a ball game, I had so much fun. One of the things you got to do is when I love this. This is one of my favorite times. Is they did that when the pitcher was having trouble and the other team was scoring, and it was time for the pitcher to go. You know what they would do? Oh, you remember that? That was the old Indian, you know, tune where you're putting the tomahawk, which is like, time to go, buddy. I think what started happening, whatever, the Atlanta Braves, I don't know who first started doing it, but I was laughing myself crazy because it's fun, and you got to yell it out. You know, you can't just go, doesn't work. People would look at you and go, what's wrong with you? Right? Well, if they're doing that at a ball game, you know what I'm saying? Like making like an Indian. Well, maybe we could do that at church every now and then. No, I mean, you know, look at the, yeah, because you're watching the ball go, woo, you know. So here they were. Praising God with a loud voice. Everybody say, loud voice. That's right. Okay. And what were they saying? It says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke those loud voices, disciples. They didn't say loud voices, but you know they're upset. Why? He says, if I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. So I've kind of made a promise to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I never want to be in a situation where the rocks are louder than me. That's a safe prayer, isn't it? I would never want to be where the rocks are louder than me. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get to that place. I'll figure it out eventually how to praise God in everything. You know? He didn't say crickets, because right now they're getting kind of loud, the crickets. Right? Whatever those things are, June bugs. So here's the thing. God has a situation where we do it with a loud voice. All right, so I have a question for you. Here's a guess. I want to see how many guesses we get on this one. So what I did is I did a word study in the New Testament, because that's New Testament, loud voice, right? Paul was talking about it. I mean, Jesus here. So you can't say, well, that's old covenant, brother. No, this is Jesus, and they were loud. How many times does which book of the Bible has the most of the two words, loud voice? Can anybody guess? Let me hear some guesses. loud voice, which book of the Bible, of the New Testament now? The book of Acts. Okay, good, 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 good. Revelation. Okay, anybody else? Mark, okay. Any of the epistles? Okay. All right, so number one, Revelation. Number two, Acts. You guys nailed it. You know how many times in the book of Revelation? 20. 20. Way more than anywhere else. 20. 20 times. Give me a good reason, Pastor John. I asked Pastor Ronnie. Ronnie, give me a good reason why the loud voice in the book of Revelation may be used the most. Why do you think it might be used the most? What do you think? Yeah, they're in heaven. Guess what? The volume is turned up in heaven. There's nobody back there at the soundboard telling the sound guy to turn it down because it's too loud. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. It's too many decibels. Don't care. Loud voice. It's amazing from the beginning all the way through. And yeah, they still got their hearing. Thunder, many waters. There's a lot of loud stuff. And here's why I think one of the reasons why God wants us to use a loud voice. Because the principle is when you're a ruler and an announcement is made about a decision with authority, they always said decisive, authoritative decisions, whatever, were declared with a loud voice. All right, everybody turn to Romans chapter 10. Okay, so God has an atmosphere that can be loud at times. And that's okay, because it's coming from here. All right, it's coming from here. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, which is, it's just an amazing, Romans chapter 10 is an amazing passage, okay? So we're going to go to Romans chapter 10 and look at some other kinds of ways that God creates an atmosphere. So we can just do it with people just being really boisterous for God, and we don't want to ever let the stones best us in praise. Paul says in verse 8, well, he says before then, he asks a bunch of questions. Who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to do this? He says, don't question in your heart. Don't question in your heart. What does he say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Everybody say, word of faith. That we proclaim. Everybody say, proclaim. Notice that the word of faith is a proclaimed word, not a thought word. The word of faith is a proclaimed word. That means the word of faith, by definition, is something you say. Something you say, not just something you think. So you have to say it to be a word of faith. It's something, because why? He says, if you confess with your mouth. Notice it's something you say and believe in your heart. So you're confessing it, and while you're saying it, you're believing it at the same time. So you're not saying something that you don't really believe. So you're saying what you believe, but it's what you say that matters. It's because we call our religion a confession of faith. Like, that's what we are. He goes, the word of faith that we're preaching, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So why do we say Jesus is Lord? We're believing and confessing two different things, right? We're saying, everybody say with me, Jesus is Lord. Say it. We're confessing Jesus is Lord, but what are we believing? God raised him from the dead. So it's because we believe God raised him from the dead, we say Jesus is Lord. Because his lordship is because of his resurrection. It's his resurrection that we declare by calling him Lord. That's a word right there. Chew on that, okay? For with the heart one believes and is justified. What are you believing? Jesus rose from the grave. That's what you're believing. And that's what changes you. That's what changes you. It's the resurrection power of Jesus that changes your heart. That's what brings you to salvation. If all I knew is that Jesus died on the cross, I wouldn't be saved. What was the hardest thing? I talked about this last week. What was the hardest knowledge for them, for the disciples to accept? What? It was that he was alive. They had so much trouble believing it. Did the disciples believe he could do miracles? Yes. Did they believe that he was a loving guy? Yes. Did they believe that he spoke the word of God? Yes. But they really had a hard time to believe that Jesus was alive. Once they believed that, that's when they came into their full salvation of him as Lord. So what did Thomas do? Thomas said, I have got to see the fact that he was killed and alive. And once he did that, what did he say? My Lord and my God. See, that's the pattern. The pattern is the lordship of Jesus is in his resurrection. And we have to say it. We have to declare it. So what does that do to the atmosphere? It changes it. Our confession changes the atmosphere. What we say changes the atmosphere. So there's no distinction. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. All right, now let's go down to verse 17. Verse 17 says this. So faith comes from hearing. So what has to happen for you to hear? You got to hear a sound, right? You got to hear a sound. And sometimes that sound has got to be loud. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a whisper. But you got to hear something. And you got to hear what the Word of God says. And so it's your ability to apprehend what you hear. I believe that God wants us to have an eagle grip on His Word. Can somebody say that? That means I've got this word and I can't let it go because I can't help it because my talons have tons of pressure. Okay? So that's what I'm trying to say here is that faith comes by hearing. Come on. You hear it because of the word of God and then you grab on that word. And that grabbing on the word is faith. It's faith. That's what faith is. It's trusting. You got it. It's not leaving. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so I want to talk about now an atmosphere. Okay, so we talked about the atmosphere what was the first one? The sound of music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. So that's the first thing that can change an atmosphere. The prophet needed that. The second thing was the atmosphere of a loud voice. Okay? We need an atmosphere of a loud voice. Then you got number three. So the hearing and confessing right there. That means the voice of the Word of God. The Word of God being declared. That's the next thing that changes the atmosphere. So when we have a praise and worship session or we have preaching, we want to hear you guys declaring the Word of the Lord. And so if we're up there in worship and we got a prophetic song going, just start saying the word. You can't miss it. Sing the word. Say the word. Declare the word. Amen. And saying amen means faith. All right, last thing here. The next thing I want to say is the power of agreement. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. The power of agreement. Now, I'm going to go to the piano when I do this, okay? All right, now. I'm going to use a musical illustration, okay? Here I've got one note. Is there any agreement with this note? No, why? It's just one voice. One voice, no agreement. then I could put this in. Is there agreement with that? No. It sounds like nothing. Now, it does have two notes, okay? But they don't really agree well. But if I do this, they're not the same word or they're not the same pitch, but do they form any kind of harmony? Yes. Okay. Now, that's two notes. Everybody say two. Okay. Now, in our system of music, you add one more and you call this a triad. Now I've got three notes. Are they in agreement or harmony? Yes. Okay? They're all in agreement and harmony. They're not saying exactly the same thing, right? They're three different pitches, but they don't sound like this. Got it? And you can add pitches as you go. But it's the two or three principle that creates an atmosphere. Everybody say two or three principle. So you can have a worship atmosphere that changes the atmosphere, but then you can have the power of agreement or the two or three principle in the scripture. And that's why Matthew 18 says this: whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The word binding and loosing has to do with governmental authority. That's what it means. Okay? Allowing and not allowing. Permitting and not permitting. Keeping it or not keeping it. And again, Jesus said, again, I say to you. Now he's emphasizing what? If two of you agree on earth. So he says it again, but he emphasizes the fact that our agreement has to be where? Here. Here. How critical it is for there to be agreement. Now, you don't have to sit on the same note necessarily. You can say one thing and say another thing slightly different, but you're in harmony. You're in harmony together because you're being led by the Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit has the ability to cause us to say things that cause us to come into harmony together. We may not express it exactly the same way. For example, one of us can sing something and then a dancer comes and dances appropriately for whatever is being sung, right? Now, I'm a horrible dancer. So if Ronnie starts singing, "This is the air I breathe," right? Start singing. And then I come in going, and dance like that. Do the jig or whatever you call that stuff. There's all kinds of, right? Are they in harmony?
No.
Yes. It creates an atmosphere of like hilarity, which means you don't want to take anything seriously. Or shock. That's why God never called me to be a dancer. Yeah. But how many know that dancing can draw a lot of attention to itself? And so you want them to agree so that there's a flow so that what you're seeing is matching what you're hearing. It's appropriate. You see what I'm saying? So this power of the two or three agreement, you don't need a lot to do it, but you need at least two to create harmony. And it creates an atmosphere of agreement. And when you add a third, it kind of fills it out. It gives you a fullness of harmony. So we'll be in a worship service and someone will just either sing a song or they'll come up with a prophetic exhortation and then select today. Liz had an exhortation. We were kind of worshiping and kind of waiting on the Lord. And I was just waiting for the Spirit to move prophetically. This is what we do here. Liz came up and gave an exhortation. An exhortation is a word in season. That means it's what God wants us to hear, rhema-wise, not logos-wise. And y'all know the difference, right? Rhema, logos. Rhema is a word in season or a word for the moment. Logos is the big picture. Okay? A rhema word means, what is God saying to me now? Because there's a whole lot in the Bible he could tell you, right? But I want to know what's on God's heart now. So I want a rhema word. I want a rhema word. And so God will send a rhema word through an exhortation, through a prophetic song. He'll do it through a prophecy. He'll do it through a dance. He will do it through a piece of artwork. We haven't seen that here, but I've seen it. Okay? And God wants them all to flow together. So you don't want somebody go, and I've seen it, this happened here in this church before, where some of those prophesy the Lord. That's the Lord says, get up and praise the Lord. And then another prophet get up, thus says the Lord, get on your face before God and don't do anything. You know, that's not harmony, right? So somewhere along the line, you got to sense what God is telling you to do. So you're not constantly crossing paths, you know, and you're creating that sound there that I was playing. Okay? So here we are. And we got this, two or three are gathered in my name. Because when there is an agreement and there's a harmony, it says what? There am I among them. The presence of God is in the name of Jesus in agreement. There am I among them. That means when we are not in the two or three mode in our worship service, then we don't experience the presence of God like we could. Now, God's everywhere, right? That's why I can breathe today. But sometimes he likes to show up with a little more oomph to it. So don't let anybody tell you, oh, God's everywhere. He doesn't do anything else than that. No, he does. Of course he does. Because it says it right here. It says, when you come into agreement, I'm going to be present among you in a way you haven't experienced until that point. Yeah. Till that time. You won't experience his presence until you come into some agreement. And it usually has to do with an authoritative word. So the presence of God. And I'll give you an example. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. You can read this on your own. But Paul says it again. Because he's bringing a judging word, actually. And he begins chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians with these words. This is the third time. Everybody say third time. Every charge must be established in the evidence of two or three witnesses. So Paul had been there two other times to warn them about something they kept on doing. And he says, now this is the third time I'm going to come. This, and he's telling him, look, time is going to be up. Again, baseball analogy, don't laugh, guys. How many strikes before you get out? Three. That's biblical. It's biblical. Sorry, forgive me for using baseball to preach the word. Because I was there the other night. Okay. And that's the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 16. How many prophets do they want talking or speaking in tongues? Two or three. Okay? Now, you have to read into it to say that maybe they were doing it too much. Okay? Bless you. You have to kind of read into it a little bit. But Paul uses the two or three principle. Why? For speaking in tongues. And why for prophet speaking? Why is he saying that? Because of the two or three principle of power and presence being released. That's why he's saying that. He's saying, look, as a church, I want you to flow in the two or three principle of harmony and agreement with the word of God. So if you pray in tongues, two or three times is the authoritative realm you want to hit. Okay, you want to be in that a kind of agreement stage. And the same thing with prophetic words. So he's not telling them don't do it too much. He's just saying, look, strive for that sweet spot of two or three. All right? So don't ever think, okay, we had two prophetic words, can't do any more. Or one. Don't think that necessarily. It's just the principle of harmony. Got it? Got it. I want you to interpret that right, because I don't want you to get, don't let religious people try to stop you. Because there may be a point when there is something that God wants to say, and it may be the fourth one. But it may be setting a different principle that God wants to bring an additional word. All right, now, I hope I made clear on that. Anyway, let's turn to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to finish right here. We're going to, right here. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Wow. And I'm going to finish with an amazing story of how the atmosphere was changed. The last part of it now. You had the two or three agreement. And you'll see what I'm talking about once you see this story. Okay? Starting with verse 17. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Everybody say this with me. Let's say it together. Ready? And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. The power of the Lord was present with him to heal, which means that God, what was God saying to Jesus? He was saying to Jesus, and I believe in his spirit, there's going to be some healing there. I want to do some healing in particular. And sometimes we need to get in a service, and we need to stay there long enough to say, what does God want to do? And God may say, right now, I'm going to heal some folks. Then do it. Do it. Say it. Let's get some healing done. Now, he may not say healing that time. He may something different. He may say deliverance this time. I want to chuck some demons out the door. And he'll do it. It'll be a particular thing that God wants to do. Do you see how Jesus, because Jesus can do anything, right? We all know that, right? We know that Jesus can do whatever miracle he needs to do. But God's, come on now, I know everybody here believes that God can do anything, right? We know that God can do anything. But if God told Jesus, the Father told Jesus, or the Spirit told Jesus, that I want to do some healing now, don't you think he could tell you that too? That maybe he's not as interested right now in doing other stuff than with healing? Which means we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit whenever we do something in the Word. Don't just pull a word or your favorite teaching. Well, you know, I've been studying all week on this particular topic, so I'm just going to, all I remember going to do is talk about it today. It may not be the word of the Lord for the moment. He may say, I want you to do some healing. But Lord, I really want to see some deliverance. Sorry, not going to happen. We're going to heal today. You see what I'm saying? I'm just using that as an example for us to learn how to be sensitive to the wind of the Spirit. Be sensitive to the wind of the Spirit. Work with the Holy Spirit. Get him to just be sensitive. And it may take an hour. It may be instant. How many know that Jesus did healings different ways? So what if Jesus, you know what I'm saying, what if Jesus were taught by a particular healing school that you got to get healing right there? And they didn't tell him, well, he could be healed after they leave the service. Right? So what are you going to do? Keep him there? You might. But you've got to obey the Holy Spirit. It's not just a formula, guys. And you know that. Okay? I'm preaching to the choir. Okay? So I want you to tell me where the two or three principle comes in. All right? Here we go. Ready? Next verse, 18. And behold. Now, God says, behold. That's a clue right there, guys. Look out right here. Check this out. Some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. Next verse. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. Notice the emphasis on what? Get him to Jesus if you're going to see something good happen. Get in the presence of Jesus. That's the principle. Go on. And when he saw their faith, woo, yoo-hoo. Okay, where is it? Where's the two or three principle here? Who are the two or three principle? What is it? It's just interesting, I think. How many guys? Yes. Yes. That's the two or three principle. They all said, hey, buddy, we're going to get this boy before Jesus and nothing's going to stop us. So we're going to create an atmosphere of agreement, even if it means tearing the roof off of that church building. Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's where my whole point was. The two or three, all they needed was two or three. But because they had two or three, the fourth guys go, hey, man, I'm coming, man. Let's do it. You see what I'm saying? It's not the principle of don't go too far, because it's that same principle. They had their quorum or their power that they needed to see a miracle together. And Jesus says, when he saw their faith. Everybody say, saw their faith. So your faith can be declared with your feet as well as your mouth. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm declaring the name of Jesus. Or get the pry bar right now. Because they're ceiling tiles. We all know they were made out of clay. They weren't, I don't know if they could just pick them up or not, but they had to get those ceiling tiles off the roof. So they all worked together. They did the same thing. What was their purpose? Get him before Jesus. What is our purpose in church every Sunday? Get before Jesus. And then Jesus will say, I see some faith working in these guys. I see some power. The power of God is here to heal. Let's do it. Why? Because there was the two or three principle operating, and they were all gathered together, and they were like, let's do it, boys. Let's see God move. Let's see God's power be released. Let's see the presence of God be there. Amen. That's what we want to see. It's not unity for the sake of ease. It's not unity for the sake of everybody's got to do the same thing. That's not the point of unity. The point of unity is so Jesus can be here. That's why we want to have unity. We want to have unity because it's not about you. It's about him. I just want to see Jesus. And I know that Jesus flows in that kind of atmosphere. It is no way taking away from his power when we walk according to atmosphere. It is not saying, sorry, God, you just can't do it. I understand that. And there's more examples in the scriptures, but I didn't want to take any more time. I wanted to stop right here with that particular act so that you realize that it's more than just three people that can be in agreement, but the power is in the two or three. That's where the power is. And just go for it. Just go for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.